Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. That is right, you are back with us, your two favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast hosts. I am Kelsey.
And I am Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And before we get started, everyone, please hit that like, subscribe, follow, 5-star, everything, everywhere that you can do to make sure you're getting the newest content. And hitting that follow button wherever you're at really does help the algorithm go a long way. So even if you listen every week and you know you're going to be here for it, still just hit that follow button. We appreciate it. Still hit that 5-star button. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. If you're on, let's see, Audible has it, iHeart, Google Podcasts. Can't remember all the other ones, but wherever you're listening, make sure you hit those buttons. We appreciate it. Kelsey, can I tell you a story?
Please.
So I've got a couple shout outs, but I want to start with a story because this is like, we were talking about this on our little cold open recording. There's times in life where you get your faith in humanity restored in a positive way. And then there's times in your life where it's the opposite and you lose a little bit of faith in humanity. This is a coming of age tale of a 33-year-old man who's already come of age.
Who's been of age for ages.
I'm a grown-ass, adult-ass, man-ass. But here's what happened. So I was on the train the other day, okay? And this guy pulls a, like, a container of sushi. No. Oh. A container of sushi. Which, like, on the train is bold, right? It's moving around. It's kind of jerky. You don't know if it's going to be slow. You don't know if it's going to be fast. Kind of crazy. And also, like, if people bump into you as they're getting off the train, like, risky, right? Mm-hmm. So he looked to have 3 accoutrements to the sushi. A packet of soy sauce. Mm-hmm. Some sort of, it looked like a sriracha, maybe. And then you have the wasabi on the side. Mm-hmm. I saw the person take the red packet, so I'm gonna assume it's sriracha, poured it over the sushi. Okay. Mm-hmm. So far I'm like, bold choice, but nothing alarming. Then here's where the story takes a twist, okay? This person with his fingers picks up the lump of wasabi and puts it directly in his mouth. Full wasabi. Okay?
Okay.
My hackles are up now. Okay? I'm on edge. I then watch this person take the packet of soy sauce, rip it open, and drink it directly into his mouth as if it is a Go-Gurt pouch.
Okay.
I'm now concerned. The problem with this story is I don't know how it ends. I get off the next stop. So my truth is that there's a person out there who stopped at that point and threw the sushi away. But I'll never know. I hope I see this person again.
I that does not derail my faith in humanity. I'll be honest with you. It piques my curiosity. but it does not hurt my faith in humanity, which is already at an all-time low.
Yeah. That's fair. I love sushi so much that this...
He's done nothing to the sushi.
No.
The sushi's intact.
But I'm concerned at why he hasn't consumed it. It took so long for... He prepped the sushi with the sriracha, and then if you're out there and you like the wasabi, like, good for you. I don't like wasabi, so I'm not one of those people who, like, you got to use your chopstick and you got to get a little teeny tiny bit and you got to put it on your little piece of sushi. No. I do, however, dip my sushis in the soy sauce. A little dip. So, anyways, wherever you're at, soy sauce drinker, like, listen, I hope you're doing well, buddy.
Have you seen the sriracha ketchup? I saw it at Aldi and I thought of you.
So here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of sriracha.
Oh, okay.
I prefer like a traditional hot sauce or like a Frank's or a Cholula.
Yeah, I keep Frank's in my house, but you guys normally have Cholula.
Well, we have both. We got both.
Well, every time we're at a restaurant, you ask for Cholula, so I just assumed that was your go-to.
Cholula is my go-to for breakfast foods, for sure. Yeah. I feel like not a ton of restaurants have Frank's. It's either Cholula or Tabasco, and I don't really love Tabasco.
Yeah.
Like, even Chipotle has more Tabasco than they only have Tabasco that I've seen. Anyways, that was a story I had to share. It threw me. I'm in therapy for it.
Tell your therapist hello.
I will make sure to tell my therapist that you say hi. This is what Patreon's for, is the hot stanky banter content. So let's do a Grey's episode. Wait, do we have shout outs?
You do.
I do. Let me look. Shit, I'm so unprepared. So a couple shout outs. So number one, I want to shout out Marie. Marie and I have been talking. She is actually going to be starting a Phineas and Ferb podcast. So I'm very excited to listen to that.
Yes, I also spoke with her about that.
Yeah. So very cool. I know nothing about Phineas and Ferb, so like very, very excited. I just want to shout out Alicia. I've seen your messages. I will respond to them. I'm just so behind on everything, so I apologize. Also want to shout out Grace. So Grace, actually, I shouted her out a while back, but she has a message that's kind of directed towards you. I would like to formally redact my statement that Kelsey doesn't hate Owen enough. I'm finally almost done with season 7 of the podcast, but when we talked, I was somewhere in season 6, and she was still keeping her feelings about him a secret from you.
Yeah.
And it felt like drugs when she finally revealed how much she hates him.
Felt like drugs.
And she says,
real. I hate him so much.
A fellow Owen hater till I die, with the little salute emoji. And I have a shout out for Etta. Shout out for Elizabeth, Brittany. Let's see, who else? Sarah, saw your message come through a little bit ago. Got to respond to that. Cheryl, shout out. And I hope that you do end up leaving a 5-star review, Cheryl. She said she was going to write that down.
I really thought you were going to, and I hope you do end up leaving your husband.
And I...
I don't know. Because we were just talking about Owen, so that's where my head's at.
Wow, can you imagine? Like that episode of Private Practice where
that's how you just
face?
Like do a shout out casually in the podcast. I hope you do end up leaving your husband of 27 years.
Yeah, we're all better for it. So not Cheryl. It's anecdotal. Shout out, I know they don't listen very often, but they pop in every once in a while. But shout out to Dylan. I am upset that he's truly living a coming of age tale with his son right now.
I know.
The first Google search of the word boobies.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
I'm so stoked for them and their journey. But I think that's it. I think that's all I have. And one other thing. So I was chatting with Marie a little bit, and she was saying that she's like, I have to ask though, like, why do you guys hate George so much? And I'm like, here's the thing. Here's Here's the reasons why.
Because he sucks.
He sucks. But she's like, but randomly you guys will just like, it'll be like no context and you'll be like, man, but George fucking sucks. And I'm like, yeah, some of that's just us being egregious. We did talk through the points, like, and she's like, and you know, we kind of agreed. One thing I will say, I feel like if George continued his trajectory for one more season and got to be a part of like healing his and Callie's relationship alongside her sexual journey, mm-hmm. I think that could have been really cool storytelling and writing. And I think we that was stolen from us.
His arc was on the way to redemption.
It was. But I'm not going to let the it's too I'm not going to let the possibility cloud what had happened.
Right. Exactly. That's fair. And I mean, I'm not, I do agree. Like, I think we were headed into a redeemable, like, it's the same with Alex, right? Like, you look at where Alex was, like, Alex is not likable. They give him an arc. He has growth. He has change. He acknowledges wrongdoings. Yeah. He sees his own flaws. George was not given that opportunity because he was run over by a bus. So
yeah, and we don't get to retcon that for him. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. And
when
what
people
did happen,
say, like, why do you hate George? I truly believe they haven't rewatched recently. Like, they haven't rewatched in adulthood. Because George to me is such like the quote unquote like, girls say they want a nice guy, but then I'm here and they don't want me. But he's like getting mad at Meredith for being upset in a very vulnerable situation. And it's just bullshit. I think George is like one of the original incels. Like, he has problems and he acts like he doesn't because he blames everything that goes wrong with him on or to him on the fact that he doesn't like look as attractive as Derek. And I'm like, that my guy, that is not the problem.
Yeah. I also, the whole him and Meredith having sex is just like,
that's like the worst part. And like, it's just
so
like
cringe.
It's the guy that like bitches about being friend zoned. And I'm like, that's not a thing.
Speaking of friend zone, this episode is interesting. So those are my shout outs though. So I don't know.
Okay. Before we get into this episode, we had a couple different people reach out with personal stories about Jehovah's Witnesses and like how it impacted them via especially like medicine and receiving blood. So I wanted to share some of those with permish. We got an email talking about being raised a Jehovah's Witness and also like talking about the Bible verses that we quoted from the website last week and basically saying that when it says do not ingest blood, they're viewing it more as like taking it in any form. So like the way you and I were interpreting cannibalism, they just think like any blood being put into your body would equate to ingesting it. So
like
there's
even
some insight,
even
like a transfusion
meat?
Would be the same as I mean, no, I think human blood, because they talk about like the blood of man or like blood being life and whatnot.
Interesting.
And then this person also said that when they were in school, like younger, they felt embarrassment around it. So they really didn't tell their friends. So that was like easy for them to understand that the kid in the storyline wouldn't have shared with his friend. Okay. And then got an Instagram message from someone who part of her family is Jehovah's Witness, and her great aunt went in for a routine surgery. They had the cell saver thing, so she wouldn't need to get a transfusion. Things went really poorly. She needed a transfusion. Her daughter said no, and then there was a lot of like falling out in the family because her sons were like, why didn't you do that? That could have saved her, and she ended up passing away. And what was, she said, even more fucked up was the person who wrote us this story wasn't told about that because she had just given birth like the week prior.
She
is Mexican, and Mexican culture, she says, has a rule that bad news shouldn't be shared when a woman who has just delivered a baby or it will make her sick. So she wasn't able to like say goodbye or even give her the option to see her again. And so she was like really like essentially traumatized and like heartbroken by this rule. So just different ways that like impacts people. And
that anyways, is crazy.
So yeah, just wanted to share those. So thank you guys for letting us in on that insight. We appreciate it. And it just kind of shows like, yeah, it's always interesting to see it. Like, again, I do feel like there's, you know, some, I never doubted that there was truth to it. It's just like, we can only speak from our experiences. And so it's interesting to hear how people basically have very similar experiences from what was portrayed.
Like the resentment, the challenge of like, okay, well, like, why don't you just do it? Like, this is to save your life. You know, it's real challenges. Hopefully anyone out there who is listening, who is either, you know, been raised in a family within Jehovah's Witnesses or, is currently practicing Jehovah's Witness, did not feel insulted by anything we had said.
Really more of just like a curious, like, just we don't understand, like, we cannot speak to it from a level of experience because we don't have it. We've never really
no one had messaged me being upset.
Well, on that note, we'll get into this week's episode of Grace.
I think it's also worth noting that I see a spider the size of a human in my basement
as
right now.
As per always, just let it be. What's it going to do? Kill you?
Yes.
Well, it's been a good time. Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
This is episode 14 of the 9th season. It is episode 186 overall. It is called The Face of Change. And that is a song that Carmen is going to tell us about when he stops taking picture of the spider to send to me.
I'm sending it to you. Yeah. The Face of Change is a song by a band called The Willies. I want you to know there's nothing I could find from this other than it was released March 15th, 1988.
Yep.
That's all I got. The song is like very late 80s kind of vibe. Like almost country-ish. I'm going to give it a subjective and objective 1.4.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. It's like, it's in the, you know, like the genre of Willie Nelson, not totally unrelated. The Willies and Willie Nelson, totally unrelated here, but it's like those, I just like, I'm not into it. It's just like, come on, let's do something better. No offense if you're a Willie Nelson fan, but also like some offense.
Okay, Willie Nelson has stood the test of time in so many ways. So you gotta give him some credit.
Gotta give him credit. I just don't like his music.
Stoned as fuck, and good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's living the life. Did you see that spider I just sent you?
Yeah, this is large.
And in charge.
This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by Rob J. Greenlee, who had appeared as a paramedic on a previous episode of Grey's Anatomy in season 4.
Oh, I think I remember you saying that, maybe.
And this episode aired February 7th, my half birthday, 2013, to 8.9 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is... Several of the doctors compete to be the new face of Seattle Grace. False. Alex and Jackson work with a transgender teen couple. True. That, nothing about secretly sneaking a kid into a closed ER.
Yeah, nothing on that.
Were you surprised to see that the ER was in fact closed?
Yeah, actually I was. I didn't think it would be like that. I thought it would be not.
Yeah, I think last week you said something along the lines of, the ER's not going to close.
Yeah, of course not. Didn't think that it was going to be the new hernia clinic.
Yeah, dumb. Like,
wild. Too bad Dr. Nussbitch isn't around to help us learn about surgeries.
Okay, before we get into this episode, a few things to note. This episode is from 2013. Had this episode been done now, or really like within the last 10 years of when we were recording this now in 2025, I do think it would have been done differently as far as the transgender couple goes. In the future, when we see transgendered characters in this show, they are played by transgendered actors. Nice. That is not the case in this. Also, we want to just say that we are allies to the LGBTQI plus community.
Hell yeah!
That being said, we can only, again, speak on our experience as cisgendered people. So we cannot say, like, oh, we've been through this, so we just want to say we are allies. We believe trans people deserve all the rights to go into whatever fucking bathroom that they are going to use to feel comfortable in. And a trans person is not going to hurt you in a bathroom. Do you know who will?
Donald J. Trump.
So true. Anyways, so we just wanted to address that before we get into it.
Yeah. I will say I'm very fortunate living in Chicago. I come in contact with people who have, especially the name tags, like the they, them.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked with trans people both in Disney and at Universal back in the day. I have currently worked with, I work with a couple of trans folks in my profession now. Across the country that I've become friends with, I'm fortunate enough that, especially living in Illinois, we're a safer space, than, you know, some,
and we
some
hope that it remains
red
that
states.
Way.
We hope that it remains that way, but in general, like, even the safest of spaces can be targets of hate as well. Yeah. And then also I'd be remiss if I didn't say, like, from a standpoint of someone who is a Christian man, like, big time ally for the trans folks. And like, why are we living in a place that's like trying to figure out how to take rights away from people? I just don't understand.
Yeah, from like the tiniest population of people who are simply not a problem.
Yeah.
Also, I will say this. Every time we make statements like this, I feel like we're preaching to the choir, because I truly think that our listeners know that we feel this way and our listeners share these beliefs. But we still like to say it.
Yeah.
Because it matters.
I think it's also worth noting. So like, Jess and I have talked about this as well. There's still so much that we as cisgender people, and also like being straight white people, don't understand about some of the plight of this community in general.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess and I have talked, like, well, what if Marlo grew up and was transgender? Like, we hope that there are resources, there are like the fucking medical care coverage to do the things that she needs, not just from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional and a mental wellness standpoint. Like, it's easier for me to go through therapy for the things that I've gone through in my life and not feel like what was one of the things that Jessica had said to Brian's dad? Like, you don't know what it's like to be in a body that you don't feel like belongs to you,
yeah,
or something
to feel
that
like
effect.
You're dying, like, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will never feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's important when you're having these conversations. Ironically, I'm about to say this when I've done a lot of talking right now. but the important thing is to listen when you can. And that's something that I've been trying to do better as, especially a cis white straight male in America right now.
And a lot of times I have had people, like, when I have conversations with people who are potentially more red-leaning.
Yeah.
And
it's very,
they're like,
nice,
well,
of you to said that very nicely.
Yeah, I know. So, and they're like, well, can you explain this? Like, what does this mean? And I'm like, I can explain it to you. But you know what? Like, I am so confident that if you ask it with a truly open mind and you actually just want to understand, I don't think a trans person is going to be offended if you say, like, hey, can you explain, like the if you go by like they them pronouns. Like that's a big one. They're like, what about it? I'm like, what about it? Who cares if it you Seriously. Don't get it? Who cares if you don't get it? Not me, that's for damn sure. Like, as long as, like, respectfully, don't ask people about their fucking genitals, ever.
Yes. But,
like, if you...
Well, you could ask me about mine.
Ask me about my wiener!
It's just, like, one of those things that I think if you come to a conversation willing to learn, and, like, again, you're being, like, respectful and not, like, gross and, like, let me see your underpants, then, like, I think the community is one that's for how fucking like attacked they are is a very welcoming and open community and like wants people to have the like perspective and hear them out to your point of like just listening to them. So,
and it's from an education standpoint, I think I guess I'm speaking on a wild minority of a minority group anyways, because I don't know every trans person who's ever lived, obviously.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm doing my best, Kelsey. There's only so much privilege that I have to use as a straight white man to talk to all of the transgender folks. But I have found that so much of my education and perspective comes from just being like, can I just ask you this question? And if it's no, truly feel no pressure. I want to understand. I want to learn. Yeah. You know how many times I've gone to someone who I have a relationship with and asked that question and gotten a fuck you, Carmen? Zero. I've gotten that zero times. Yeah.
Well, and it's also like, if you're learning about something, isn't the best place to learn like from a quote unquote expert? So like someone who has that lived in experience versus like, I don't know, Fox News. So it's just like, you know, figure out your sources, figure out your options. You probably know a trans person.
Yeah.
You might not think you do. Also, the rhetoric of like, oh, trans people just now exist. Like, that's like, how many times do we have to go through something as a society? And that argument gets thrown around. They're like, gay people never used to exist. This thing never used to. Yes, it always did. They just like never felt safe sharing that they existed. And like, don't you want to be part of a society where people feel safe to be who they are, as long as who they are isn't like, you know, a murderer? As long as who they are is hurting no one and people just get to be their authentic selves. Like, what's wrong with that? Why would that bother someone? We don't have time to unpack this.
We don't. But you know what? I feel good with like the first half of this episode really being dedicated to this. I know we're going to take a break for capitalism in a few moments to you know, pay tribute to the overlords. But if you're out there and you're spending time hating a marginalized group,
don't.
I'm gonna tell you who to direct that hate towards right now, and it's not who you're gonna think it is. It is also the people you think it should be. Also give them their due hate.
It's Owen.
Give it to the Pokemon card scalpers, folks. I need to just be able to buy at retail.
So Pokemon you're gonna cards make again. This about you, is what I'm hearing. As Listen, a straight white cisgender
I can
male.
Only I can only repress nature for so long, Kelsey. I'm doing my best here. I'm an ally, but I want Pokemon cards too.
I am an ally, but I am also a white man.
Wait, those things are not mutually exclusive. I am an ally and a white man.
So you have to make it about you.
Shut up.
It's all right. We know you love the Pokemon cards, and resellers do deserve some amount of hate.
Yeah. But I think that the resellers deserve way more hate than trans people can. Like, can we all agree on that for you know, a second? Okay. Anyways, the fact of the matter is we love you.
Yes. And again, I do feel like it's not like we're out here trying to say that our listeners don't agree with us, but we still feel like we want to share the way that we feel, because when you have a platform, we don't want there to be any doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's pay homage to the capitalism overlords. Mm-hmm. And then let's actually, I guess, should we talk about Jessica and Brian to start this episode? Should we just?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll start with that.
excuse me, podcast burp. Cute. Haven't had one of those in a long time. I'm drinking bubbly. Speaking of bubbly, here's a break.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we are back.
If someone got an ad for Bubbly, I'll be so happy.
That's really funny. What we've been getting some interesting ads people have telling us they've gotten. So shoot us an Instagram message, or if you're on Patreon, let us know in our this week's podcast chat bar about what your ads were. All right. So Jessica and Brian
are a transgendered couple. Did you recognize the person playing Brian?
Rachel Brosnahan, right?
Yes, which you knew was going to happen.
Oh, did I?
Yes, because you said that you were like saying something and about Grey's, and someone was like, and you had just been talking about Miss Maisel, and whoever you were talking to was like, oh, so she's in it, and you were like, that's a spoilie.
Oh, you know what? I must have repressed that because I don't remember that.
Good. I'm glad.
I think in my therapy journey, I'm learning to better repress the spoilies if they happen.
you're choosing to repress traumatic memories.
I'm unlocking some traumatic memories, and I'm trading in them one for one with spoilies.
I love that for
someday us. I'll forget that Christina isn't one of the people on the show in 2025. So
They are there because Brian, played by Rachel. This was my thing that I just, it was very weird for me to watch because, like, Shonda, as we know, is like a great, as far as like a writer, director, creator, always using like very authentic representation and like telling very good stories and not just like hitting you over the head, right? You're like going on the journey with these people. It's not just like, hey, racism is bad. It's like, let's go on this journey. Let's like work through it. Let's like, oh, you see how we got here kind of things. Like, she is an incredible storyteller. She has a vision. She is very inclusive and like very diverse in all of her shows and all of her writing. And a huge respect, because I really think she changed a lot of she was like a trailblazer in so many ways. So it was just weird to me seeing this, because like I said earlier, like every other trans character that's ever been in the show, to my remembrance, which could be incorrect, was played by a trans actor. And it could be speaking to the time, like, I don't know, you know, who they could find. And maybe it's not as big a deal in reality as I am like taking it to be. I just had like, I feel like I had heard it spoken on prior. So it was weird to me to see just like cisgendered people playing these characters.
Yeah.
I mean, from a writing standpoint, I think the story is told really well. The words given, the words used are beautiful. The story being told feels like it's probably all too familiar to a lot of people, especially younger people going through like a transition journey. But it was just strange to me that it's just like, you know, cisgendered people, like looking them up on IMDb for Shondaland. I'm like, that's just, they're not trans people.
It's like they did all, it's like they spent all their budget on the research and the storyline. And they said, all right, let's just get cookie cutter cis people and we'll just throw them in there.
Yeah. It's just like a weird thing to me. And I know like other actors later on in life, again, it's not really this time period, maybe a little later in the time periods, have like received backlash for playing trans people in films and television and whatnot. So I think it's one of those things like when you know better, you do better. So it could have just been like a learning curve. Honestly, I didn't, like when I was doing research on the episode, I really didn't see anything online in regards to that specifically. I do have to sidebar and say when I was like on the Reddit thread for this episode, like the Reddit thread that someone created like that night that people were talking about that episode as it kind of aired, people were like, is this show going to get renewed next year? I hope it does. And I was like, if only you knew. Fucking 13 years later.
Yeah. There was Reddit that long ago?
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy. Do you go onto that? Like, have you gone onto that and people say, wow, this aged poorly? Like, it definitely got renewed or anything like that?
Well, no, because a lot of them are just, like, in that moment. Like, there are Grey's rewatch threads, but as far as, like, current watches, I mean, most of the comments on it are from 13 years ago.
Right, right.
So there are probably on like the rewatch ones, they're like, ooh, yikes. But like, yeah, when I, like I said, when I went on to do my research, the Reddit that came up was the original one, not anything on the more current Reddit thread. So I don't know.
Well, I am glad to know that the actors are better represented later on. I think so. Yeah, I definitely knew right away it was Rachel Brosnahan. I was glad to see her. I'm a big fan. She was in, obviously, you know that Kelsey and I watched The Blacklist, although I haven't watched the whole thing. I did the other day. I don't think I told you this. I Googled the ending the other day.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's like one of the most unsatisfactory endings I've ever experienced in a television show. And that's really saying something because I have watched so much television.
Yeah, it's a bummer. We'll need to unpack. Maybe I'll just go watch that last episode and be like, what the fuck did I just watch? Because I just Googled the plot of the last episode, and it sounds dumb.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
And then, of course, now I'm getting Blacklist reels all over my Instagram because it's all connected. So she was in that, and then she was in Miss Maisel, obviously, big fan of that show. That's Amy Sherman Palladino, right?
Yes.
And she did Gilmore Girls.
My Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. When she comes in and they're like, all right, what are we doing today? And she's like, I'm just chopping off my boobs. You know? Like,
yeah.
I couldn't help but think, wow, this is definitely Miss Maisel. Like, this is, I'm watching Miss Maisel live on screen. She does not have a ton of scenes in this episode. It's it's mostly centered around Jessica.
Yeah.
I say she about Rachel Brosnahan, but I mean,
yeah, that's another thing, like telling the story, like it's talking about like the actress versus the story, the character they play, which is a he. And that's just another reason it feels like weird to me. Again, it might not actually be that big a deal. I don't know. It just felt very strange to me watching it. They're there for Brian's breast removal, top surgery. He says he's been saving for a long time and finally has enough money. Jess is there as his support / girlfriend. They met in a transgender support group. And I believe they're supposed to be like 19, 20, 21, like
Something youngish.
Specifically. Definitely younger. I think they say like freshman in college and sophomore in college, maybe. And I only mention that because the dad mentions it later. 18. And then I think Jess was like 2 years older. So, tale as old as time. You hear with trans people where the parents are like wildly unsupportive, show up. They haven't, you know, they like don't have a good relationship anymore. The dad has like not been speaking with the son and didn't know about the surgery, got an email about it the night prior. Come to find out Jess is the one that sent the email because she's like, well, Brian talks about you all the time. Like, you're his dad. He loves you. He wants to be like you when he grows up. He just wants you to love him the way he loves you, which like, ugh.
Daggers.
To feel like your child doesn't think you love them simply because of their being who they feel like they truly are is like, I don't know. I just, as a parent, I'm like, come on. Like, you not understand. It's like, was there any effort made to understand it? Because it doesn't feel like it.
I assume the answer is no, which is sad.
Like, there is a conversation where the dad is like, why don't you just wait a few years? Like, are you sure? But then it's like, okay, at some point you have to be respectful. And like, it feels like the Brian is trying to be like, this isn't like, you don't understand, this is my life, in a respectful way. And the dad is like, well, I don't understand, but I will continue to try and control you.
It's also such a different situation from, I think, man, what show was I watching? I think it was New Amsterdam, where they actually had psych involved. Again, where is the therapy? Where is the psychologist in all of this? Can we have a conversation? Also, maybe for the dad. Maybe the therapist is there for
sure
the dad.
For the dad. But with psych, well, the way there's a transgender storyline in Private Practice, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, and I don't know if you're ever going to watch Private Practice, so I'm just going to talk about it.
I am going to do it, and I think I did see it.
Basically, like, Charlotte is meant to do a surgery for a transgendered woman. And they say that, like, Sheldon, as a psychiatrist, has to sign off on it. Has to sign off on the surgery.
Yes, yes, I did see this episode.
Which,
yes.
So I'm like, if they're there for the surgery, so my assumption would be that that has already... They're not going to do that, like, the day before the surgery. Like, it's already...
That's fair. That's
part
fair.
Has already taken place.
The scene in New Amsterdam that I'm thinking of, which, if you have not watched it, you should definitely watch that one together. Don't watch it if you haven't watched it, so we can do it together. But there is a scene where it's a kid, and it's, like, under the age of 18... Mm-hmm. And basically, it boils down to he has to wait until he's 18 to do his gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah.
But this is not the case here. This is over the age of 18. You're an adult.
The implication is that it's been a couple of years at least, because they haven't. They like make it seem like they haven't talked to the dad in a long time. So. Again, like, I can't speak to this as a parent, and I have seen things written by both parents of, like, supportive parents of transgendered children and as well as transgendered people about their parents being like, your parent can be supportive and still grieve the child that they believed they had, but still, like, be supportive as long as they're, like, supporting you. Like, they also just, like, go through this process of, like, readjusting. As long as they're not like being a like mean or trying to like change your mind, there is still like a quote unquote grief to basically your expectations.
Yeah.
But there is a way to like reconcile that and still like be a supportive parent and not be like controlling or try and like shut someone out or anything like that. So obviously, again, we haven't experienced this. There's got to be so much nuance to it. Every single story is going to be different for people. I just know that I have read that from both perspectives about from like people who have experienced more like positive responses from their parents when coming out as transgendered. And But one thing, obviously, that's like a huge deal is the dead naming, which is when someone uses the name that you used to go by when, like, you've made it clear. And again, when it comes to transgendered people on a whole from a community, from what I've witnessed as an outsider, from people I have known or like creators that I follow on YouTube and Instagram and stuff like that, if someone like mistakenly uses an old name, especially if it's like a family member that has like been with you for your whole life, if there's a mistake and they like immediately correct, or they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, and they like, it wasn't an intent to harm. But like the use of the name to be like, I'm negating your feelings, I'm negating who you think you are who I say you are. There is a like a difference. And that's the same with misgendering too, right? Absolutely. Like if you know someone and you know them pre-transition and you do your best to use their new name, use their appropriate pronouns, if you slip up every once in a while, as long as you own up to that and you apologize and just move forward with it, like, again, most people in my experience, like, just appreciate the acknowledgement, appreciate the effort, appreciate you seeing them and like respecting them as a person, which is like just not that much to ask from another human being. Respect, like, the bar is so low. Just like respect other humans. Like, the bar is so low.
Yeah. I think I've tried to become more mindful of that, especially at my job now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two choice folks in our hospital, and I try to either refer to them by their name,
mm-hmm.
Or I just refer to everyone as like pal,
yeah,
dude, folks. I've also, there's so many girls, women that work in my hospital that I just call them all bro as well.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's very important to try to use gender neutral things in general with people.
Yeah.
That just helps, like, that muscle memory.
Inclusive terms.
Yeah. Thank you. Inclusive terms. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a point, I don't remember where I was, but I think I was in Florida when it happened, and I was like, hey, how's it going, guys? And it was like, it was a lesbian couple, and they like were like, we're not guys. And I was like, I'm sorry, not what I meant. I'm from the Midwest. Everyone's guys. Everyone's, yeah, hey guys, you guys, us guys. But it's everyone, right? So like, even trying to do that, I've tried to be better at, and I do use the word pal a lot. But
yeah, well, and like, you know, you, again, if that happens, then you are like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I like won't, yeah, do that moving forward. Like, yeah, if so, it's just one of those things. Again, it's like when someone says like, oh, you did this thing, and like, I didn't, you know, love that, or that made me feel bad. Like, just acknowledgement. Like, if that wasn't your intention, that's fine. That doesn't mean you need to like shame them.
Totally.
You can just be like, oh, I'm so sorry, that wasn't my intention, I won't do that anymore. Like, that's fine. Like, it doesn't need to be a thing.
Yeah.
I'm lucky as a Southern woman, I can call basically anyone sweetheart and get away with it. So,
And you got the y'all. You could do whatever, yeah, you want. Just
y'all,
y'all
means all. Y'all means all. So
there's,
yeah.
There's the scene with that I really like in this episode. So Alex has a really good episode just in general.
Yes,
with this.
Yes, agreed.
When the dad is, I think the dad's yelling at Jess, and then Alex walks up and he's like, hey, what's up, guys? And he's like, are you fucking doing this to my daughter? And then slams him up against the wall, and then, yeah, the cops are there with him. I like that so we get kind of a full arc even with the dad. He goes from angry, then you think that Jessica wins him over, but Brian kicks the dad out at one point when they're, yeah, getting into it.
But when he dead names him.
Yes. And what was it? It was Brianna.
Brianna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out Brianna. Our Brianna and our Bree.
We have so many.
And we probably have like 30, maybe 40. And like 100 Megs.
we do be collecting Megs.
We be collecting Megs. Also, shout out to our original, yes, Meg. winning a Hugo Award. The first time in, what, 30 years that Star Trek has won. And we're just so proud of you. So proud
and,
of you.
Like, so deserved. And just what an incredible accomplishment. We fucking love it.
When you decide you want to do a comedic episode where there's podcasting in space, we're here for doing the voice acting. I'm prepared for it. I have my la 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 la's ready to go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't have that show anymore. I think she had told us that, but good job listening.
Okay, first off, you know what?
It's all right. He blocked it out because it was traumatic.
Yes, anyways. So, and then they're the cops are like holding on to him. Also, Alex kept it so cool. The dude was shot. Like, Alex was shot in that hospital. Anytime someone steps 1 foot towards me in
rage.
Anytime
someone, like, sneezes too loud, I would be like, you,
man, I didn't do it. I'm just trying to reach
please.
Dead.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I agree. It's a good Alex episode. There is patience, but also, like, obviously leans more on the respect and making sure his patient Brian is comfortable. Like, he offers you know, like, okay, you can come in and talk, but, like, if it's gonna get rowdy, like, you're the one that's going out. Like, as soon as Brian is like, get out, and the dad hesitates, Alex is like, you heard him, leave. Like, yeah. I don't know why you're hesitating.
Yeah, so that I liked. And then when the hold on, I'm trying to think, where did the scene happen where, oh, when Alex comes out and tells Jessica that the surgery went well, and Brian's dad kind of like pokes his head around the corner. Do you have any of the receipts for that scene?
Yes, I do. I thought you might ask.
I knew you. You look, you and me are in sync.
We are in sync tonight. Bye, bye, bye.
I want it that way. I think that's the other band, though, isn't it?
I was like, that's not in sync.
I want you to know, I couldn't tell you who is in either of those bands or what song they do. In my opinion, this is not an opinion. As far as my brain capacity is concerned, it's the same band and it's the same music catalog.
Well, that's insane and incorrect.
But is it in sync?
No.
The big three: insane, incorrect, and in sync.
Okay. All right. So yes.
Tell me why.
Jackson and Alex come and say the surgery went really well. Brian's in recovery. Like, you'll be able to visit him when he wakes up. Blah blah blah. The Jess sees Mr. Weston, and he's like, "I'm sorry. I just wanted to hear how it went." And Jess says, I sent you the email last night, not Brian. It was me. He wasn't going to tell you. I know you guys don't talk that much since he moved out, but he talks about you a lot. He admires you. I think he wants to grow up and be you. And you're his dad. It was major surgery. I thought you should know. I get why you blame me for this. He met me and started changing, dressing differently and acting differently. But I'm not. It's hard being like us, trying to fit into this mold that doesn't fit. He just wants you to love him, Mr. Weston, the way that he loves you. He didn't tell you because he didn't want to mess that up. And then the dad says, are you okay on rent here? This is all I have on me, and gives money, and then like goes to leave. And Jess is like, you don't want to be here when he wakes up. And then he just leaves. So
yeah,
it is definitely wild. It seems like a journey through the like different stages of grief, maybe. I don't know, like, if that's really the right way to phrase it, but obviously, like, he starts in anger, he's like doing the bargaining, like trying to change mind / control, which is wrong. I do want to say, like, none of this is a defense. I'm just like trying to kind of get a read on like where we are. Like, are we supposed to, you know, land in a spot where, you know, maybe in a couple months Brian, this is, I like to think that he reaches out and he's like, I'm sorry, like, I didn't get it. I'm, like, trying to understand. I want to have a relationship with you. I love you no matter what. All this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if that's really what we're led to believe, or if he's just like, I can't be nice, so I'll just leave. Like, if I can't say anything nice at all, I won't say anything, so I'll just leave. So I don't really know, like, where they want us as the viewers to kind of end up thought process-wise on that.
I'll tell you where I'm ending up. I'm mad because I'm thinking, like, I'm trying to think to myself, Marlo grows up and is transgender. And I hear, in this case, their significant other tell me, even after all the things that have transpired over the last couple of years, your kid still admires you and wants to grow up and wants to be you and talks about you fondly. In the face of all of that, to still kind of have that outlook.
Yeah.
Don't be a fucking dick.
I definitely see what you're saying.
You know, and like figure it out. Figure it out. Come to your kid. The kids should not be coming to parents.
Yeah. It's not on a kid who is already going through like so much trying to kind of like reckon with who they are and what that looks like and how trying to fit in, like what Jess says, like trying to fit into a world that we don't fit into. And now even still fucking 12 years later, like a world that is actively trying to make it harder for people to just exist, which is bullshit. Like as a parent, I just feel like your job is to be there. Like it shouldn't be hard for them to fit into their family.
Yeah, makes no
sense.
Like,
knowing, as a parent, knowing that your kid is, like, potentially going out into a world that is going to, like, be more difficult for them because they are different in this way. Like, you should be a soft place to land. And, like, it's just, I mean, I definitely agree. I just, like, there's, because the hostility aspect is gone and the anger aspect is gone, that's where I'm, like, are we meant to believe that this is going to be like reconciled later on? Or are we meant to believe that he's just not like mad, but he's also not on board? Like, I don't know. I like want to believe the better version where, you know, it gets reconciled and there's support and the relationship comes back together.
Yeah.
Because yeah. That's just, you know, better for, in theory, better for those involved. But if it's not, like, you don't owe anyone anything just because they're your parent. Like, if your parent is like dead naming you and treating you like shit, you don't owe them your time and energy just because they're your parent. Like, because they're your parent, they shouldn't be doing those things. So
yeah.
It's obviously a very heavy topic, and it's, again, hard for us to speak on as, like, we have no experience in any of this. So.
And
other than having loved ones who have had these experiences. But again, that's really it.
And, you know, we get a relatively happy ending on this storyline, minus the, like, potential, the estrangement of the dad and Brian. But, like, Brian seems to be alive, right? I think back to
Brian's
that private
fine.
Practice
Brian's,
episode, and that was a tough, like, tough, that was touch and go, right?
Yeah.
So,
Brian seems to be in a very good place, like, mentally, which, again, I think speaks to, like, the support system that he has and, like, whatever, if he's gone to a therapist or gone through that aspect before, like, electing to do the surgery, like, it just seems like there's a lot of positivity surrounding him in his life, and his father is not in his life. So, like, yes, this relationship has gone sour and, like, isn't good, but, like, it seems like everything else is. And that's not to say that, like, one can replace the other, but it is to say that, like, there is a positive support system and there is happiness, which is what people deserve.
Correct. Anything else to add on this particular storyline? I know this is the whole episode that we've talked about, and I know there's a lot to cover in part two, but is there anything else?
I don't think so.
What do you say we cut this one just a couple of minutes short and we jump right into part two?
Yeah, let's do that. And we'll start it with everyone's favorite segment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.